For those of you who have been coming regularly to Sunday service, you know that I've been reading from that chapter fairly regularly when I speak, that experience in cosmic consciousness. And it so exquisitely puts the essence of the teaching today. It feels to me right now, just listening to it again, like, shh, we shouldn't speak in here. It almost feels like let's just meditate together to have the experience that Jesus and Krishna and Swamiji are all talking about in the most expanded version of Swamiji's commentaries on these teachings called The Promise of Immortality. He starts this chapter by saying that this is the last reading, or the last reading in this first section of the book that really has been focused on the divine basis of Christ's coming to earth. Really, that all of these weeks he's been speaking to us about those teachings, those knowings that only the soul can know, that cannot be known through the ego. And they're so beautiful, they're so uplifted and exquisite, yet also somewhat challenging to talk about for the very reason that Swamiji says. He says, they're only knowable to the soul. So the more we try and see them with human eyes or through logic, the more it really all eludes us. In this reading today, he says, no man hath seen God at any time. And not really to mean that no man has seen God, but that only those who have transcended the ego could see God. Again, just reminding us, in another reading in the Bible, he says, who hath seen me has seen God, meaning those who have attuned themselves to the Spirit of God rather than looking to try and logically understand God, which of course is, it's just not possible. So the answer to the question that Swamiji asked today is both yes and no. No, we cannot see God through our logical mind with our physical eyes. But yes, we can see God when we find our way to that point of intuitive perception that Yogananda describes so beautifully in this in that chapter in the AY. There's a wonderful story in the AY, which just is so perfect for this reading, because the reading from the Gita here, where Krishna says, thou canst see me with mortal eyes, thus I'll give you sight divine. Of course, he's talking to Arjuna, and he's saying, I'll help you have this experience of the divine. In the autobiography of a yogi, there's a chapter where Yogananda is speaking to his Sanskrit tutor, Kevalananda. Kevalananda says, I'm going to tell you a story that happened with him, Kevalananda, and his guru, who was Lahiri Mahashaya. And he said there was a devotee, a deep and deeply committed disciple of Lahiri Mahashaya, whose name was Ramu, and Ramu was blind since birth. Of course, many of you know this story, but we're talking about sight divine as opposed to physical sight. Excuse me for just 1 minute. Better. And Ramu was so devoted, he would sit for hours every day and just fan Lahiri Mahashaya with a big palm leaf. And Kevalananda asked him one day, how long have you been blind? He said, I've been blind since birth. He said, I've never seen the light of the sun. And so Kabalananda said to him, you know, we have this omnipotent guru here. He could heal you. You ought to go and ask him to give you vision. So Ramu, sort of with a little bit of shame, actually, Kabalananda says, went to Lahiri Mahashaya, and his words were so beautiful. He says, Master, the illuminator of the cosmos is in you, meaning that which gives light to everything flows through you. And he asks him, can you let me see the sun's light? And Lahiri Mahashaya says, somebody has really led you astray. He said, and they've put me in a terrible position because I can't heal anyone. And then Ramu says, well, not you, but the infinite one that lives in you and through you can heal anyone from anything. And Lahiri Mahashaya says, now that's a different story. And he says to him, I want you for 1 week to focus all of your attention at the point between the eyebrows to this beautiful devotee who's been sitting, spent his life with him, and who sits there for all of these hours, never seeing, just feeling so grateful to have the great spiritual blessing of being able to fan his guru. And he says, I want you to focus at the point between the eyebrows, and I want you to call to Rama, a great saint who Lahiri Mahashaya had great respect for. He said, I want you to call to Rama as much as you can this week. And so Ramu did that. And at the end of the week, he went back to Lahiri Mahashaya, who touched him again at the point between the eyebrows. And he could see. And from that point on, he could see. This is a true story. Of course, this is not something that was told thousands of years ago, but rather that happened in the 1800s and was written and spoken about. And Kabalananda has this beautiful line in there where he says, Ramu's faith was the devotionally plowed soil. Isn't that beautiful? His faith was the devotionally plowed soil in which the guru's powerful seed of permanent healing could take place. And Yogananda has told us many times, the most important thing on the spiritual path is to be receptive to the guru's teachings. Swamiji tells a story of watching Master once spend an hour with a brand new disciple. And Swamiji said he never did that. That was very unusual. And he said, because we were used to people, Master would often say if somebody left the path or left the ashram, he'll be back in a year, he'll be back in 3 years, he'll be back after whatever. And so somebody asked Master Yogananda, after he spent an hour with this brand new person and then the man left, and they said, when will he be back? And Yogananda said, never. He said, he's not coming back. He said, I only speak to people if God tells me to and for as long as God tells me to. But he says, if that person responds, which means receives his energy, he said, then I know that he'll be with us on the path. He said, if they don't, I withdraw my energy. Not, of course, in a mean-spirited way, but that receptivity is so utterly important on the path. Like, really, what Master's saying is, I can't come, I cannot help you have these experiences of the divine. I cannot give you sight divine if you are not receptive to me. So the question, can we see God? we would all want to say, of course we can. We just have to keep looking for him. We have to keep our eyes open. We need to be looking everywhere. And then we begin to see him everywhere, in everything, in everyone. I had a sort of adorable experience just this past week. Forgive me, those of you who were in the class and who have now were there or have heard it. But I was teaching in Raja Yoga, something that I've taught so many times, and I love to teach. I would say it's my second most favorite topic, which is the yamas. I just love teaching them, and I get 35 minutes into the class and go through the first yama, which is nonviolence, and I start talking about the second yama, which is non-lying or truthfulness. And my mind went blank. I'm up in front of this class, and my mind goes completely blank. I can't think of one thing to say. In fact, I have all my notes here like this. I'm saying, wait a minute, non-lying, is that truthfulness? Or is not stealing truthfulness? Well, wait a minute, they're both truth. This is all in my head. To the class, I'm saying nothing. For about 6 minutes, I couldn't. And I'm saying to myself, Shanti, of course it's truthfulness. Talk about truthfulness. But I can't think. And I'm here, and I look at the masters, and I look up there, and I say, you imps, put words in my head. Nothing, absolutely nothing came for about 6 minutes. And finally, I said, I just have to be truthful with all of you. I can't think of a word to say. I mean, it was such an odd experience. But here's why I'm sharing it. For whatever reason, totally God's grace, I mean, a living example of the yama, I felt nothing but the charm of the moment. Nothing. When we look for God, because I just looked at them, like, where are you guys? What's happening here? And it was such a delightful experience. The truth is, not that many months ago, years ago, maybe even on a different night, I would have gone home and not slept. I would have been embarrassed. I mean, it is really something. You're up there. These people have never heard this, so they sort of think you're the expert. And doesn't bode well for all of Ananda, almost. And yet, it was a beautiful moment. At the end of that class, people were so inspired. You know, this is not about me, by the way. It really isn't because, you know, as I said, and I say this often, Shanti would have been embarrassed. But when we train ourselves constantly, look for God everywhere, I can say it humorfully, but I was saying to them, what's happening here? Where are you? Why is this going on? And the first woman who came up to me after class looks at me right, she's a very deep soul, by the way, but with such clarity and depth, Shanti Ma, she said, that was as beautiful a lesson as anything could have been. There you were, trying to find words for truthfulness, but there were no words. You were just being truthful. What better way for us to learn the lesson? And it turns out that most of the people in the class, I mean, really, go figure, felt that that was such an extraordinarily powerful moment. Yes, we look for God everywhere, in every moment, in every situation. We try to not let ourselves stay asleep. It's hard. We want to sleep a little bit. Diana, I was listening to Diana, many of you know her, talk about a source of power. That woman is powerful, and she speaks powerfully, but she chants powerfully too. So she was telling a story about when Ananda was in the big San Francisco house. many years ago, and Nanda had a house up there. I don't know how many bedrooms were in it. I was actually in it, but a lot. And a lot of people lived there, like maybe even 30. But if that's an exaggeration, not by much. She often had the job of waking people up in the morning for meditation. Now, I don't know how many places do this anymore, but in those days, a lot of spiritual retreats and places would have somebody walk around and chant to wake people up. So Diana started doing that. And she said she often loved singing the chant, "Wake, my saint, wake. Thou did not meditate. Thou did not concentrate. Wake, wake." And then it goes on to say, you know, death is right around the corner. I mean, it's a powerful chant coming through this powerful woman. And she said one morning she's there, and all of a sudden she hears this whop. And she said, whoever was on the other side of the wall threw a shoe with all their might at the door. She said, they wanted to sleep. You know, really, we all want to sleep sometimes. She said, some people were happy that I was waking them up. Sounds just like us, doesn't it? Sometimes we're happy and we want to be awake, and sometimes we'd rather just throw a shoe, even right in the face of God. It's like, leave me alone, I'm sleeping here. It's calm, it's easy. It's very interesting. But here's what I want to say. We have been given every opportunity in the world to awaken to the real presence of God. We had Yogananda, we've had Swamiji. Every single thing that Swamiji did, everything, and that certainly that Master did, was specifically to give us one opportunity after another, to awaken to the presence of God, the true presence of God, to come to the point of seeing God. Every talk Swamiji gave, every book he wrote, and Master, I mean, we have all of their talks, really, from guru to disciple to us, every book, every song, the design, our logo, joy is within you. Whether we think of it consciously or not, we look at it. And it is about the soul rising. Everything about this path is an opportunity for us to open our eyes, wake up, and see God. What we need to do is we need to create a structure in our lives. We need to create a new paradigm where we remember all the time, now I'm seeing God. Now I'm seeing God. Okay, you are being quite the imp, but I'm seeing you nonetheless. And we all felt it. In the forest, we see it as green. In the mountains, it's high. Of course, that's why this chant came to them. God is everything. And all we need to do is keep saying, yes, yes, yes. I see you, I see you. With heart wide open. You know, there was a beautiful commentary that Swamiji made on the teaching, the reading from last week. I don't think it was in the reading, but I'm not even sure at this point. But a lot of the reading was about when Christ came to the Jews. I don't want to go back there. But the Jews who lived by all of these laws, which you know, they were a very law-abiding people. And the title of the talk last week was Truth and Grace. The law, and then the heart of it. And in his commentary, Swamiji said, when Jesus came to say to the Jews, open your heart to me, and I will enter and take charge of your life. But we have to be receptive. And Swamiji said he was saying to them, love, which he was trying to show them, because the Jews were, you know, really, I've said it before, 640-some laws to be obeyed. Every day, you spend a lot of time paying attention to the rules, and you can forget. You think that's the goal. If I pay attention to all the rules, I've made it. No, you haven't. Those rules were put there for you to find love, for you to open your heart. Swamiji said so beautifully, love supports the law, but love is above the law, and love is the ultimate purpose of the law. Isn't that beautiful? It supports the law, it's above the law, and it's the ultimate purpose. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they will find God. It means blessed are those who have released themselves from all of the turbulence in the heart, the likes, the dislikes, the needs, all of the emotion. We can't be so emotional and find God. Jesus had to find a way to say that 2,000 years ago. So he said, poor in heart. It's so simple to choose love, to just keep looking out and seeing God. I love this person. I love that person. Of course I love you. Of course I love you. I love this situation. Would it have been better if I had been able to say everything I knew that I do know about truthfulness? No. It was a moment. Because everything, if we open to it, can be the divine that will touch our heart and allow us to have that divine experience. I would like to close today by reading the Gita reading from the lesson from last week, because it just, I believe, if I remember correctly, I'm sorry that Asha read this at the end of her service, but I'm going to do it too, because it is so beautiful. It just can't help but grab your heart, raise your energy, and really lift you onto this path that we're talking about. All of the ways that we've been shown today. Keep your attention at the point between the eyebrows and chant Rama's name as much as you can. Look into the eyes of everyone you see and see nothing but God looking back at you. Because it's true. Every situation that comes up in life, God, I know you're here with me. What are you trying to show me here? What are you trying to show me? Because I know you're here. Let's just listen to this. Nay, but once more, take my last word, my utmost meaning have. Precious thou art to me, right well, beloved. Listen, I tell thee for thy comfort this. So caring, I tell thee for thy comfort this. Give me thy heart. Adore me. Serve me. Cling in faith and love and reverence to me. So shalt thou come to me. I promise true. For thou art sweet to me. And let go those rites and writ duties. Fly to me alone. Thy soul from all... Fly to me alone. Make me thy single refuge. I will free thy soul from all its sins. Be of good cheer. Really, if we read that every day, just love me. Just come to me. He says, I will remove every obstacle from your path. It's so beautiful. Just read this and feel God's loving arms around us every moment of every day.